Learning photo restoration, or almost, but not quite yet. I get quickly overloaded by all the new technologies I have been studying, and my first photo restoration project did not work out so good. The person requesting the restoration was extremely kind. But more work needs to be done on my part. To make the proper repairs, I have created 100 unique variations of my original work, and I may still need to mix and match lips and eyes from different photos. But before employing my own judgment, I asked the person requesting the photo for help. There's no guarantee that a photo is the correct representation, but creating 100 variations is a step towards the right direction. I expect they will return to the drawing board and start from the very beginning. The process is somewhat simple. First, I remove the damage, and this time I will restore both the top and the side of the head. I do try to be very careful in what I change, but finding the original face is extremely challenging. In fact, calling something that isn't finished may upset someone, so it is better to stick to the challenging part and never call it done until it is approved all the way. Today I realized that I can't even blur one of my variations to see if it matches up with the original blurry version, because this is not a computer vision problem. This is the realm of art. Even if I was restoring moving pictures from last century, I would still pay attention to the face. Though the story would be somewhat different because you'd want the bulk of the material to work out. A single blurry photo is the core, the main part, the big deal. And it is an invitation to create a beautiful work of art if there is no detail. But that work of art has to be approved by the family. The photo restoration site says, "There are plenty of automated tools. Don't pay anyone, just use the tool yourself." I found out, the hard way, that none of those tools actually work. The only thing that will ever work is rediscovering the face and creating a proper painting, be it with the help of generative art tools or manually, but above all, with family approval, so that it is an accurate depiction. As to the photo restoration purists who say that I am changing rules somehow, I'm sorry, but here multiple strategies and 100 hours of effort is required to do things right. An old blurry photo is a call to art, not a call to turn it into an equally small and cut-off modern photo. Ultimately, I think we can all agree that capturing the correct face requires a back and forth with the family of the person in the photo. I suppose there may even be a disagreement. And to make everyone happy, multiple works will have to be produced. To further demonstrate the problem of accuracy, when I personally look at the portraits of George Washington, I don't see one person. I see a bunch of friends that used to go to school together, that just happened to have pronounced whiffers for some reason. Adolf Wertmuller's works tell me that the man is trying to send a secret message far into the future. That the nose of George Washington was a lot longer than what the paintings show. Somewhat suspiciously, Walter Robertson's 1790s work tells me that old Butterfingers moved the hair layer before hitting the print button. Old bro James Sharples probably just painted himself in a mirror as a freaking prank. It is a little known fact that James Sharples is the first person on congressional record to state, "It was just a prank, bro." Inaccurate paintings must be avoided. It is just that blurry photos simply do not contain enough information to reconstitute the face, especially if they are somewhat damaged and old. We must stop here, because a blurry photo is no longer a technical manual made by a machine, but a poem. Here, we must collaborate with the family to create an accurate painting, not restore a blurry photo.